Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to our service tonight and hope that you had a good restful afternoon. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer and then we will get started. Father, thank you for the Lord's Day, an opportunity to focus our attention on you. Pray that you bless us with a sweet service as we have the opportunity to receive some updates from a few of our missionaries. I pray that we would have a better understanding of the kinds of challenges that they face, their needs, how we can pray for them and encourage them as we have our business meeting later. I pray that you'll bless that meeting, help it to go smoothly. And then we pray that as we have our farewell fellowship for Emily, that would be a sweet time of fellowship and encouragement to her. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you have your hymn books, let's first of all turn to hymn 527. Hymn 527, Revive Us Again. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. And we will sing all four verses of Revive Us Again. Great job singing. You can be seated. Then just a prayer of dedication because Emily will be leaving us. And then Pastor Chris will be coming and preaching. So let's all stand together one more time. And we're going to sing All I Ever Want to Be, number 56 in the Blue Book.
Give my life to you. Here am I.
seated. Half ago, the Nikki family moved out to Utah and went to work with a church plant. And I think it's a year and a half. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I think it was around January-ish. So we're looking at about a year and a half ago. Emily is going to be flying out to the UK this week, Wednesday evening. And her fiance is doing a church restart in Wales, and that's a huge endeavor. In January, Pastor Chris and his wife are, Lord willing, going to be moving in the direction of getting into the chaplaincy. And one of the great blessings of being a local church is that we get to invest in people for seasons. And one of the great challenges is that we also watch them go. And that's hard. It's hard because when people invest in our lives, our hearts are knit to them. And when we invest in their lives, their hearts are knit to us. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that whenever people are moving to a new area, they're going to be a part of a work that God has put in their heart, we should feel an excitement and a sweetness about what they're going to do. And we should feel a sadness because we genuinely love these folks. And there's a sweet bond, a Christian bond. when the Macaulays win. I know that they're not going to a church plant, but the Lord has moved them to, to a new state. We feel those things. And so I think it's really important that we remember to pray for these folks who are going. And I think we should really especially pray for those who are going specifically into tough ministry situations. I mean, the Nickies are working in Utah in a very unchurched area, we'll put it that way. Wales experienced huge revivals about 120 to 150 years ago. But now many of these churches that were founded and were once thriving they're empty. They're seniors centers, and some of them are becoming mosques, and some of them are becoming pubs. I mean, all kinds of different things. And we just thank the Lord that he's raising up a generation of young people who are willing to go into those communities and say, you know what, we want to go into this place and see God raise up a church again. And so let's have a word of prayer as we think about our missionaries that we just heard a report from, as we think about Emily who's going. And Chris, we got a couple more months with you guys, but we will do this also when you guys are officially moving into the chaplaincy. But let's have a word of prayer for these folks and just commit them, as the text said this morning, commend them to the Lord, because that is exactly what that's what Paul did with the Ephesian elders. Let's pray. Father, ministry is such a sweet thing. It's wonderful that we have hearts that are knit together with one another because of the gospel message. And we invest in one another. We love one another. We pour richly into lives. And we experience tremendous sweetness in that. Thank you for the Nickey family who is serving you in Utah. We thank you for Emily, who is getting ready to go to the UK, and Mary Tristan, and we thank you for the work that you have placed upon, burden you placed upon his heart and her heart, and we thank you for Chris and for Paige and the burden that you've placed on their hearts. And Father, we recognize that the places that these individuals have gone and will go will face a lot of hardship and a lot of struggle. And there will be dark days, very discouraging days. And I pray that when those days come, that you would uphold and strengthen these individuals. Father, help them to draw on your daily grace, that supply that you give that cannot be measured. And if we didn't have it, we wouldn't be able to carry on. Father, I pray that you would also give them very sweet seasons of ministry. I pray that they would see the sweetness of seeing souls saved and the sweetness of seeing lives radically changed by the gospel and the sweetness of disciples being made and the sweetness of new generations coming behind the older generation who have a passion for your word and a passion for your work, and they want to reach their generation for your honor and glory. Father, I pray that your hands would move in their lives, and that you would continually remind them that they are in your hands and that you are good and you are in control and you are working both in them and through them. I pray that your hands would be upon these individuals. And I thank you for these missionaries that we were able to hear from this evening. I thank you for their families. I thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the work that they have been doing and continue to do. Father, help them to stay strong in discouragements. And help them to persevere until the end of the season that you have called them to serve. Bless them in their labors. Pray that you'll bless the rest of our service. Bless Pastor Chris as he preaches the word tonight. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 11, or 2 Corinthians 11. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 11. And as I was preparing this message and told Pastor the other day what I was going to preach on, he commented how dark the passage was. And now I feel it is all the more dark as we had just a sweet time. But I hope that tonight what we look at is an encouragement, not just to us, but to the missionaries that we are praying for. I hope that what we learned tonight would enable us to pray for them with a little bit more intention and with a little more mindfulness to the burden that they carry and the ministries that they are a part of. And I say that not to be negative. We've heard throughout this month from our missionaries the great blessings that are in the ministries of the missionaries that we support. We've heard some of the challenges that they are facing. But all of that is in existence because they have a burden to reach the people whom God has called them to reach. And although we don't intend it, we are often lacking in the depth of understanding of where our missionaries are at when it concerns to this burden that they carry for these lost souls. And again, it's not that we neglect them, it's not that we're intending to be shallow in our thinking, but we're simply removed from their context, and we want to always endeavor to better learn, not just to pray for our missionaries, but for one another. And that takes some time and building of relationships and some understanding of God's word as well. And that's why we're going to be looking here in 2 Corinthians 11. But I don't want us to walk away from this passage thinking that it's talking about the burdens of missionaries. It's clearly not. When we come to 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, we're really kind of smack dab in the middle of Paul's defense of his apostolic authority. And particularly this passage, he gets very very tough with the Corinthian church. And in looking at it, you might say, well, this is very, very negative. I don't know what this has to do with, you know, our missionaries' burdens. But I hope by seeing what Paul's burden is for these Corinthians, you will see that what Paul carries with him is not different from what our missionaries or even what anybody in ministry and reaching people carries within them. So let's at least understand the context, what we're looking at here tonight, and then we can dig into the application after we look at the context. So the purpose of 11 and 12 in 2 Corinthians, as I noted, is to contribute to Paul's defense of his apostolic authority as he is being undermined by folks in the Corinthian church who really, the only reason they're trying to undermine him is to really promote themselves, to promote their own self-interests. And in order to get that context, let's go ahead and we're just going to look at the first 15 verses real quick. And I'm looking at the time. I know we got a lot going on tonight. So let's start and look at these first 15 verses in chapter 11. Paul writes, "Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Christ, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So just rapidly going through what Paul is talking about here, it can be a bit challenging if we don't take the time to examine it, to really understand how this fits into this apostolic defense. In verse 1, Paul is beginning this section by really lowering his argument to the level of the foolishness that these Corinthians were exhibiting by doubting and criticizing Paul's apostleship. In verse 2, Paul explains that he's doing this really because he loves them. He cares about the fact that they are to be sanctified for Christ's sake. In verses 3 and 4, Paul tells the Corinthians that he thinks that they will be carried away by these false apostles who present a false Christ with false teachings just as easily as Eve was beguiled by the serpent. And then in verses 5 and 6, Paul notes tongue-in-cheek that he does not see himself as falling short of these false apostles. He didn't know that Paul could use sarcasm. He uses it in verse 5. He says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." He's describing these false teachers, these undermining individuals, as quote-unquote chiefest apostles, these super apostles, if you will. And saying, I don't think I lack compared to these individuals. Surely he has a better understanding of who Christ is than these false teachers do, is what he's saying there. In verses 7 through 9, he refers back to his ministry with the Corinthians. He's visited them at least once or twice by this point that he's writing this. He's written two or three letters prior to this. And in all of this, he says he's lowered himself for their benefit. He's abased himself for their benefit. Even to the point where these other churches were coming in and financing him while he was ministering to them. So he didn't take any wages from the Corinthians because he wanted them to not have to worry about that. But now he's saying in verse 8, he says, "I've robbed other churches." He's saying, I've taken wages of other churches not to burden you, but now you're taking that investment and really wasting it by your behavior, by your actions right now. And in verses 10 through 15, he really is declaring that what he's doing is not criticizing them for the sake of criticizing them, but he's doing it out of a love to prevent those who would assert Paul's authority for their own benefit to be those whom the Corinthians would follow. And in following them, these Corinthians would also be drawn away from Christ. So all that to say, Paul is definitely talking about his apostleship here. He's not talking about missions. And I don't want us to walk away from this passage thinking that. But as we look at this passage and see Paul's heart, God wants us to have a bit more of an understanding of the burdens that our missionaries do carry. The burdens that these missionaries share with the Apostle Paul. And in understanding these burdens, we'll see that our missionaries, especially our faithful missionaries, I believe all our missionaries that we support are faithful. They have two characteristics that demonstrate their desire to fulfill or to see God bless in this area, the things that they are burdened about. The first characteristic of these missionaries, we try to see what burdens they carry, is that like Paul, as he is defending his apostleship, he's not defending it for his own sake, but really he's fighting for these Corinthians. And that's a characteristic of any godly missionary. Our missionaries are fighters. They're not brawlers. Don't get me wrong there. You know, we're not doing fisticuffs here. But our missionaries they're on the field. They're ministering to people. Really, in spiritual warfare, they're fighting for the lives, the hearts, the minds of the people they've been called to. And Paul did the same with these Corinthians. He's first of all, invested a great deal into these Corinthians. By this point, he's helped to establish this church. We can read about it in Acts chapter 18. He's corresponded with them through letters. He's written to them. He's corrected them. He's even visited them again. And Paul even describes that second visit as not a great visit. It was a very negative visit. And now he's writing a letter defending himself against those who would undermine him in the Corinthian church that he's spent so much time helping. You know what? Like Paul, missionaries invest tremendous time and energy into these ministries. Years of deputation, countless phone calls to busy pastors, numerous church politics to maneuver, foreign laws and governments to navigate. That's all even before getting to the field that they're trying to reach. All this time, all this energy. And then going to the field and having potential culture shock, having to maybe learn a new language, a new culture, and then starting a church which may or may not even last. All of these are things in the missionary's mind as they seek to invest in what God has burdened them to do. And they can't do that weak-willed or half-heartedly. They have to fight. As we seek to understand our missionaries, let's understand that they are fighting through their investment, the time, the energy that they're pouring into these ministries. And like Paul, they're not just investing their time and energy, they're competing for the hearts of the people they're called to. Paul competed for the hearts of the Corinthians. He's dealing with these individuals at the church of Corinth who are actively undermining him as an apostle. And really, they were doing it not to benefit the church. They were not trying to edify the body. They were doing it to promote themselves. They were doing it to make themselves great in the eyes of these Corinthian believers. And I don't know if these were saved individuals or completely apostate, reprobate individuals. But one thing's for sure, these people did not love Christ. Whereas Paul demonstrated his love for Christ by pointing these Corinthian believers to him, by almost dragging them to Christ, because these Corinthians, they were really struggling in this area of sanctification, of growth. And Paul wanted their hearts to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on himself, not on any apostle, but to their benefit and their growth and their relationship with the Lord. You know, as has been stated in the last couple weeks, top reason why missionaries leave the field, it's not finances, it's not a lack of response. It's because of really conflict with other missionaries. And the unfortunate reality is, it's even though it's brought on by innumerable causes, you know, every context is different, pride is really at the root of all this conflict. We know from Proverbs that that conflict comes about through pride. And really can only be resolved when one sets aside their pride and accepts God's reality. And unfortunately, while we have missionaries who are godly and are seeking to please the Lord and minister to folks, there are others who really, they're welled up with pride and they're unable to allow conflict to be resolved. Why? Because they're lifting themselves up rather than Christ. And in doing so, they're really setting themselves up to pull the hearts of the people that they're trying to witness to themselves. But our missionaries who are fighting for the sake of the gospel, They are those who are competing for these hearts from these prideful individuals, whether it be missionaries, whether it be other factors. They're fighting for these hearts that they may be drawn and directed toward Christ. So let's think of our missionaries as fighters. They're investing tremendous time and energy. They're competing for the hearts of those who they have this tremendous burden for. And not only are they fighters, but they're also, like Paul, they're overcomers. And I love this next part of 2 Corinthians 11. I'll not read it all for sake of time, but we have here a very familiar passage in verses 16 following, where we see Paul describing his earthly record of suffering. And as he continues to defend his apostleship, he really is, he's not listing these things off to bolster himself up. He's really lowering himself to meet the same standards of these false teachers. These standards that the Corinthians have come to expect in those who they have apparently started to follow. And these are some of the things that Paul points out. He points out that like these individuals, in verse 21, he says that I am just as bold. In verse 22, he says, I am just as much a Hebrew, an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham. Verse 23, he says, I'm a minister of Christ, if not more. And he's, of course, speaking tongue-in-cheek there. But then he starts shifting gears in verse 23, and he starts saying, listen, I've labored more, I've been beaten more, I've been in prison more, I've faced death more, I've faced Jewish persecution, I've been corporally punished, I've experienced near death, I've faced numerous hardships and sufferings on top of his everyday work. Paul suffered tremendously, but you know what? So have our missionaries. I don't know any missionary who would say that they've suffered at the level that Paul has. But I think any missionary would say, as Christ taught in John 16, in the world you shall have tribulation. And we're right there with our missionaries, are we not? We all struggle in tribulation. But they also understand the second part of that verse in John 16, 33, where Christ says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he gets into this, Paul even gets into this, starting in chapter 12. He starts talking about this thorn in the flesh that we have studied and heard about. And I'll not take the time to get into that, but there's a key verse here, starting in verse 7, key passage. And I want you to notice it. Paul writes in chapter 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul demonstrates that this heavenly source of grace is what allows him to be strong, to be that overcomer. And any missionary who's faced difficulty, as I believe pretty much any missionary has, and we have as well, they would say, Christ's grace is sufficient. He has overcome the world. So I hope that tonight we have a better understanding of the burdens our missionaries carry. But let's not look at them as sad or burdened people. They carry a burden. But let us know that as fighters and as overcomers, these ministers of the gospel who serve Christ, carrying them the grace given by the one who has overcome the world. Let's encourage our missionaries with a better understanding of their burdens. And let's be encouraged by the tremendous work God is doing in and through them. Father, we come before you thankful for this passage, though it can be difficult to read about how Paul would be so undermined by those whom he has invested in. Yet we're encouraged by the fact that despite Paul's brokenheartedness, we can glean that he is glorying in the strength of Christ. And as we know, it is in him that we have overcome the world. Our missionaries, despite the many victories and the many challenges, they glory in Christ. Help us to glory with them and to lift up his name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Christian life is a life that we experience a lot of unique tensions. And it's like you feel the weight of a burden, and you feel the strength that God gives you, and you feel the pain of suffering, and you also feel the joy of seeing God work. And God uses suffering to keep us humble. He uses suffering to strengthen us and build us. He uses suffering to drive us to him. And yet at the same time, he allows us to enjoy these incredible blessings, very rich, very sweet blessings. And it's hard to describe that unless you're living it. It's just very difficult. And I think that is part of what Paul is describing in these verses. The weight and the suffering, but the strength that God gives us. And that's where we need to live every single day. And we need to pray that those who are in the Lord's service that we're partnered with, that when they feel those weights, they'll turn to the Lord and get that strength. And sometimes, as a pastor, I get to have conversations with lots of our missionaries, and I get both of those things. Like, sometimes I get very heavy conversations, and sometimes just really rich blessings. And when they come into our church building, we get to have them in our home or talk to them at the table, we get to taste that a little bit too. So make sure that you do that. Okay, our closing hymn is hymn 398, May the Lord Find Us Faithful, 398. Let's stand together, please, and we'll sing this song as our closing. Take a very brief break. Make sure that everyone has the financials that they need for our meeting, and then we will begin our business meeting. 398, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. Given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unfailing kind, oh, be not ashamed of his name. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our prayer. Let's bow for prayer, and then we'll take a short break and then come back for our meeting. Father, thank you so much for the faithfulness and the perseverance of so many of these dear missionary families. I think of the labors, the sacrifices, and then the sweet blessings that they've enjoyed. And I thank you for the privilege that we have to partner with these families. Father, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for the lessons that you are teaching us on a daily basis, the way that you stretch us and you grow us and you mature us. I'm so very thankful for the many gospel interactions that we've been able to see over the last several weeks where you're bringing us in contact with lost people who need the gospel. I pray that you continue a work in people's lives. Help us to be a vibrant church, one that loves you and loves one another and that is fully engaged in the business of making disciples, the work of ministry, making disciples. I pray that you'll bless our business meeting we'll have in a few minutes. And we ask that you will just continue to bless our church in many ways. We're so thankful for it. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.